7.5 minutes past the hour. Let's get to our guest, Sean Taylor, APAC CIO and head of emerging markets at DWS. We can talk EM in a moment, Sean, but I just find this very interesting, what's happening between the markets and the Fed. So we know that Jay Powell got sort of all Volcker on us because they didn't feel comfortable with how much the market had rallied off the June lows. And it's really an odd situation because the markets are rallying again. They're not like trying to get in Jerome Powell's face, but they're just looking beyond. They think inflation is peaking and that, you know, the Fed will get it up to 4% and then things can get better later. And, you know, so Jay Powell is telling the markets, don't do what you normally do, which is look ahead. I find it very puzzling.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, look, it is very interesting. And I mean, a lot of it, if you look at the S&P chart, is to do, you know, I think with sort of tactical levels as well. Obviously in June, you know, in the middle of June, the market had sold off. People started to look and see that the inflation was coming down and there could be a potential, you know, Fed pivot in mid-August, as you said, in Jackson Hole. Powell made that clear it wasn't going to happen. Markets headed down again and they probably got a bit oversold and the data has actually been, you know, reasonably supportive. The headline data, I think, on tonight will be, you know, reasonably positive for inflation. But I think the underlying trends is still clear. We've got higher than normal inflation, particularly in, you know, rents and the wage pressure, and rates will continue to go up.
Rates are going to continue to go up then. Is that kind of one of the best trades ahead of what we're expecting from the FOMC later this month? And what's your kind of dollar bet there too?
Well, I think, short term, if the headlines are good, probably the dollar weakens a little bit and risk is back on. But I think then it adjusts after a while. I mean, at the moment, we're almost at our sort of next year's, you know, 10-year U.S. Treasury forecast. So, if anything goes above our forecast on that, because obviously our forecasts are for a one-year basis and we accept that things can go higher in the shorter term, then it's probably a good time to be buying, fixed income. And for the first time in many years, fixed income is giving a yield, which is good. It's now more of an alternative. But I think it's going to be, quite patchy actually between now and the next few months.
Yeah, particularly with recession probably looming in Europe, it doesn't seem like that's priced in. Do the markets know something that we don't know from the headlines?
Well, that's true. I mean, if you look at it, compared to the last few months, you could probably say actually the US at the moment, the data seems to be saying it could achieve a soft landing, with just a higher cost of capital going forward and a higher level of inflation. Europe, I mean, looks like it can't avoid a recession. But I suppose whenever you get, the military advisors are saying over the weekend that, the Ukraine is putting more pressure on Russia, etc., that people are sort of living in hope, I suppose, in a way. Gas prices have come down a bit, oil prices have come down a bit. That's taken a little bit off pressure off. The governments in Europe and in the UK as well have decided to help out and protect consumers from some of those rising prices. But, I mean, in my view, it's really, kicking the can down the road, and I expect it will have an impact negatively on economic growth going forward, and it's probably not priced in.
Sean, we're awaiting the reopen of China and Hong Kong and potentially joining in that rally that we saw across the region yesterday when they were closed. Does Xi's overseas trip also give us kind of some positive momentum that he's leaving the nation for the first time since the pandemic and we could start to see a pivot after the party congress?
I think it does. I mean, obviously, we need to see more details of the opening up plan. And this morning as well, as you've reported earlier, that there's lockdowns happening in other areas of China. But it is positive. It's his first trip abroad. A lot of his advisors have been traveling as well. So, I do think we're getting to a stage where we have some visibility, although timing is still pretty key. And I think there's also, Julia, over the weekend been some more positive news from the government in terms of, we're hearing that the plans are happening to help the economy more. So I think the focus will change over the next month or two from, politics to the economy and potentially looking at opening up solutions, which will be positive.
Do you have any trades targeted at whatever comes out of the party congress?
I think for us, the easiest trade in China really is the opening up play, because you know at some time that will happen, and really related also to consumption. You know, so there's classic airline services, consumption plays, and you know the e-commerce internet plays will should be a benefit of that. We have to see though for the structural future of China what happens with common prosperity at the not necessarily at the party conference, but going forward, what's the message? What's the growth rate going to be? What's the balance of the private sector? Because, in 2012, we heard that the economy was going to be rebalanced, and a lot of us thought that meant that, that the state would not take so much part of it, and it would be driven more by the private sector. But then, obviously, from February last year, we've seen that's been changing with the common prosperity. So we'd like to see where the balance is.
You're remaining cautious on property, which makes sense given those problems don't go away after the party congress or the reopening of borders necessarily. But elsewhere, looking at opportunities in India and Indonesia, tell us why.
Yeah, it's really growth rates. I mean, you've had some decent performance out of both those markets year to date. They've also both been hurt by what should normally have been headwinds with the oil price and also with rates going up. But the growth coming through is very strong. It's a good domestic story. Both markets are less driven by the global cycle. And I think even though we're seeing a bounce, Juliet, today in Korea and Taiwan, those markets are still quite tech heavy. They're sort of tech driven, and the US, and we are feeling, if you look at a lot of the results in the US, that the demand for people to buy more computers and more phones, etc., is not there relative to services in the US. So we think they probably still lag, where consumption picking up. I mean, in India, the property cycle is looking very interesting, and that's giving a very good base, more affordable consumption picking up, and actually we've got a much higher growth rate in both India and Indonesia going forward, especially the delta relative to China. So I think they're interesting stories. But if we have a turning point in the markets, it will be China. We're just not ready to call it yet, Juliet, because we need to see the market's COVID zero policy going.
Let's get another angle on that. So we know President Xi is going to Central Asia and likely will meet with the Russian President, Vladimir Putin. Is there anything that she could tell Putin that would impact the course of that conflict?
Well, that's obviously all eyes are going to be on this, because the last meeting was at the Olympics just before the conflict started. So it'll be very interesting to see the rhetoric coming out of that. It's pretty hard to make an investment conclusion, I'm afraid, Brian, on it without knowing what's going to be talked about, whether it's going to be positive for oil, whether it's going to be negative to oil, whether it's going to be, more about, finding a possible solution, or whether it's more about isolation.
Yeah, it's going to be certainly interesting to watch. Sean, we thank you as always. Sean Taylor, APAC CIO and Head of Emerging Markets at DWS, joining us from Hong Kong.